This is Steve. How may I help you?
Oh, hello, Steve. Good morning. I'm looking for the person who handles the auto-enlisting for NIER. Is that you, by any chance? Oh, great.
Yes, I run NIERCO. I'm a journeyman electrician, and I do electrical installs for my customers. Are you with Yelp, or what business service are you?
Yeah, actually, Steve, my name is Andre. I'm over here with Local Splash. What prompted my call to you is we're actually calling around your area in Corpus Christi, and we just wanted to speak with you about listing the business on the first page of Google for your keywords in the area. As you mentioned, you're an electrician, so anytime anyone searches for electrician's work or electrician, we make sure that your business is on that first page option. I mean, I'm sure you know.
So you work for Google Marketing?
Our company's called Local Splash, yeah. So we have we've been assigned on your area just today. I mean, what's like your coverage? I mean, I know you're located at Corpus Christi, but how far do you like usually travel around the area?
Because I'm also a unionized electrician. I belong to the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Labor Union, and we're a labor union, obviously, that covers all sectors of the economy, industrial, commercial, and residential. But I've been on multi-million-dollar jobs both in New Mexico and Texas. The union functions as my own employment agency. Unfortunately, there is, in the electrical world, it's controlled by union and non-union business entities, okay? It's kind of complicated, but when it comes to constructing new buildings, whether it be a skyscraper or a hospital or a car dealership or whatever, it all has to be wired up with all this, you know, multiple millions of dollars worth of wiring and electrical panels and lighting and power outlets. And all the circuits that go in a typical building, it's in the hundreds, right? It's not thousands of circuits per building. And so it's a big industry, and there's a lot of players in it, and there's a lot of things to manage, and there's a lot of safety concerns, and anybody can get killed at any time due to electrical incident. And so they got OSHA people involved in all this, of course, you know, and they fine companies millions of dollars for violating any kind of OSHA rule or regulation. So for a heavily regulated industry, our industry by nature is dangerous. There's always risks to, you know, injuring property and personnel and also, you know, injuring people. You know, people can get killed if something's not safety taped off, like a big manhole. Because we also do, when I was an apprentice electrician, we did a lot of industrial services for refineries. And refineries, they produce nothing but dangerous chemicals that either catch on fire or explode. So everything in the electrical world also had to obey this electrical code, which also recommended explosion-proof electrical fittings and electrical parts and electrical wiring had to be all explosion-proof rated. Stuff like that. Like, the industry is regulated by a lot of safety institutions, a lot of testing institutions. You've probably heard of Underwriters Laboratories. That's a big testing and evaluation company out of Chicago, one of the cities. I think Chicago's the main headquarters, and they're in other cities too. Anyway, all that stuff, all that being said, is like, yeah, I have a lot to manage as a journeyman electrician. I have over 8,000 documented hours in the construction world building out electrical circuits. My last big job was a multi-billion-dollar steel mill job in Sinton, Texas for Steel Dynamics Incorporated. You've probably heard of them. They own like six different steel mills across the United States. They're extremely big business. You know, they load their products on 18-wheelers and they ship their products to manufacturers that need sheet steel. Anyway, they produce big old spools of sheet steel, big giant spools, almost like you see a giant spool of paper from a paper mill that weighs like several 100 tons or whatever, or maybe 10 tons of paper for reel, because the reel diameter is like 10 feet in diameter, and it has to be loaded by a crane onto a truck. You know, humans are not even involved. It's so heavy. It's all machinery done, you know. So that's a big industry, obviously. And so the steel mill, the job I did, we put in a lot of underground circuits. We also build the piping, the plastic piping that houses the wires for the circuits. So the union, because of the history of the union was established like in the late 1800s. Because even back in the late 1800s, it was big business was trying to, you know, climb the power pyramid of a society, you know, and they were influencing society in various ways because of the big money behind the big businesses. And so if you study the history of business, you find out, okay, yeah, it was always a fight about who gets what, like the fair pay and stuff that the work, the laborers wanted versus what the management was willing to pay and stuff. So it was always a fight about, you know, fair fairness and wages.
So basically, Steve, just to make sure, I mean, I hear everything correctly, because again, we're actually just calling around your area right now. So you don't handle like any residential works around your area. So you just like,
I do. I've done residential. Yeah, I've done residential. However, I've talked to other legislators that only do commercial jobs, meaning like businesses, like a car dealership, like a hospital, like a, you know, a fuel station, you know, businesses have got money versus like a lot of electricians don't like residential because the customers are usually really particular, extra fussy, extra problematic. You know, they nitpick and they're very difficult to please. Okay. A lot of the residential customers. So I can understand where they're coming from. Like it's not the funnest type of business to operate and service, you know, homeowners. There are a difficult crowd of people. People that own their own homes are real particular. I actually did electrical for a residential job for a lady that's just in my neighborhood. She's down the street. She's like five houses down from me. And she moved there. She's only been there maybe like, I don't know, the last 5 years or so. I can't remember what year that they moved into their home. Because I remember the people that owned their home or lived in the home before them were like in the medical field. Anyway, long story short, I installed a lot of lighting fixtures. I replaced a lot of old crappy lighting fixtures that were like in the 1960s that were in a house with new modern ones. And what else did I do?
Steve, how long have you been like licensed and insured like around your area in the?
I got my state license as a journeyman back in 2018 is when I actually passed all the exams because we have to pass our exams, just like any other career field. Like the medical people have to pass their exams, like the nurses, RNs, take their nursing exam and stuff. They graduate from college, you know, they still got to pass all the medical exam stuff. Anyway, so, and for my career field, I also have to take continuing education. So I'm dealing with these special continuing education providers, which are their own, like, company or their own agency. That deals with ongoing education or adult education for tradespeople. And of course, electricians are like plumbers or they're considered a trade. They call them a trade. I don't know where that term trade came from, but you know, everybody's got the different language or different, what I call jargon. Yeah. There's jargon for everything. And I was just dealing with I have a retirement plan with my union and I'm over 60 now. And so I was thinking of, you know, taking a withdrawal or distribution from my retirement plan, which is obviously locked up into the stock market. And so I have to deal with this third-party company.
But, don't mind me asking, I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. I mean, right now, yeah. I mean, are you still in a position to, like, maybe handle more works? Like more customers?
Yeah. I want to do something like right now. I have a multimillionaire business client, they own rental properties and they've had me replace ceiling fans and stuff like that with their rental properties and stuff in times past. However, I find my career field kind of, how shall I say, it's kind of sort of inconsistent is what I'm trying to describe it as because I don't do the same thing every day. One day it might be like, and then even in my own house yesterday I found a switch that burnt out. So I had to go to Home Depot and buy a new switch. It was only 92 cents and I got a nine penny discount. Because I'm a military veteran too, I'm a U.S. Navy veteran, so I got my little military discount on my purchase of a switch. It was a Levitin switch, just for lighting, and the old switch burnt out, and I replaced it. I had to put a jumper wire in there too, by the way, because my own house is out of electric code because my house was built in like 1961 or 1962, somewhere in that time frame. And anyway, back then, the code was different than the code is now. That's another thing. If you study electrical code, we've got our own thick books on all that. They're like as thick as a dictionary almost on all the bureaucracy of the electrical code, because a lot of electrical engineers, a lot of, you know, senior electricians and everybody else involved in the industry is trying to put their 2 cents worth of opinion into it and, you know, come up with a guideline to this and that and the other. And anyway, long story short, they're trying to make everything safer, of course, so buildings don't catch fire electrically and burn down and stuff. That's why the electrical code, yeah. If you look at it, the organization is actually a sub-organization or spinoff organization from the NFPA, which stands for National Fire Protection Association. And so those include all the firefighters of all the fire departments across our great nation, you know. Whether, no matter what, if they live in the city or the country or in the rural areas. So all that being said, is that my industry is highly regulated. So yeah. I'm hoping to market myself outside because I'm functioning kind of as an independent senior electrician. Yeah, I've been doing electrical work since 2006 is when I entered Electricians College. And it was a 5-year program. And a lot of it was on the job learning from senior electrical people, you know, senior electricians that knew more than me.
Are
and
you,
I was learning from that.
I mean, Steve, are you like the sole owner of the business or do you have like a partner or just you?
I am kind of the sole owner of it. I'm functioning as a sole proprietor more or less. However, if I get on a big job that's residential, say, because I am about to go on to a big, my millionaire customer that wants me to redo her electrical panel that's all rusty, that's going to be a big...
Uh-huh.
nerve-wracking job because to replace an old rusty panel takes a lot of demolition work of the old crap. Then I'm going to have to install a new panel in, you know, put nuts and bolts on it and, you know, install it into the wall where it's at. Then I have to take all the old wiring and try to reestablish it into probably new circuit breakers.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm going to have to do a panel build out and I'm going to have to do a cost analysis on it too, or, you know, shop around for a decent size panel that's appropriate size because they make panels of all different sizes. So this kind of job doesn't happen every day. I don't necessarily replace electrical panels from people's homes because, you know, not everybody's panel is rusted out and you know, allowing rainwater to come in there and cause electrical hazards. So that's a typical job that I'm saying. It's like not all the electrical work is fun and games. It's all dangerous. It's like playing with rattlesnakes. It's like being a snake scientist. You know, one of those days, poisonous snakes could bite you and you could be dead, you know. Same with electrical. You do one simple slip up mistake and you could be dead if you touch a live wire. Especially if there's, you know, a million volts behind it or, you know, 1,000, you know, cause you can get killed by less than 1 amp of electricity. Most people don't know that.
Yeah.
It doesn't take, all that takes is electricity to shoot through your brain or your heart or any vital organ to burn it. If it burns it, then you're usually dead. You're considered a burn victim. So it's a dangerous career field, and that's why we have to always take these ongoing OSHA refresher courses and stuff with this and that and the other to keep ourselves, you know, and the people that we work with safe and everybody's following the same rules. And anyway, so plumbers are the same way. I'm sure plumbers could flood out a house,
yeah.
You know, if they can't turn off the leak fast enough, everything gets ruined by the water. I mean, they've got their own hazards and stuff. So. And that's why plumbers do cost a lot of money too, especially if they're messing with your wastewater, your mm-hmm. septic water, you know. So anyway, but if y'all can, are you in the business of building websites there, Local Splash, or are you just
actually,
trying to?
Yeah, actually, Steve, that's what I'm about to ask. I mean, if you have like an active website, because I mean, if you don't, we could help you with that as well. I mean, Steve, just to let you know on what we do here on your area, again, we've been assigned here at Google. I mean, if you do like an electrician search around your area, I believe you know these businesses like Discount Electric, Smith & Jones, Mr. Electric. So those are like the top businesses right now. So that's
yeah.
where we want to place you. Especially, I mean, if you don't have a website yet, we can definitely help you with that. And the great thing about this, Steve, I mean, since you are considering to, like, get more residential works, I mean, if we could provide you those works that you're looking for, I mean, I'm sure this is something that you would consider for your business today, right?
Right. Yeah,
great.
I know there's a lot of independent contractors out there. Some are unionized, some are not. Some are, like, I think Mr. Electric, I looked into that because I used to live in North Texas, and they advertised, they sent me some, you know, snail mail marketing stuff. stuff, saying, hey, would you want to hire on with us? We have all these whatever company benefits and whatnot, blah, blah, blah. You know, they were trying to sell all the pros and cons, well, mainly the pros of their business, you know, the benefits of their being in their employee role. But Mr. Electric sounded like they were operating as a franchise. I'm not, you know, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
A franchise business. They got to follow their own rules and regulations as a franchise, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's different, but again, Steve. Oh, good. I'm sorry.
Well, a franchise, you got to follow, like, if I'm going to be a franchisee, I got to follow the corporate headquarters of the franchise founders, whoever founded that franchise. They got their own methodology. They got their own rules and regulations. You got to follow their method, you don't have the freedom to be your own boss necessarily. Mm-hmm. You got to follow their rules and regulations. And the founders of a franchise are their own, like, they're the top dog boss. Like, so you got to technically follow their rules, their regulations, their methods. And ultimately you're accountable to the founders of a franchise. You're not totally independent. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
So if I signed on or try to hire on with Mr. Electric as like a senior electrician, I'll have to go through all their rules and regulations, their company policies, and et cetera, ad infinitum, you know. So that's not too fun, you know.
Just just a quick question, because I'm trying to like look around your area. I mean, on your work, does NIER has like a meaning or like an acronym? Or
it could. I mean, in the science world, it means near Earth ionizing radiation, NEIR,
mm-hmm.
and near Earth. Okay. That's like an astronomical NASA term. But
yeah.
My last name is Dutch. It's Germanic or Dutch
okay.
in its origin. So you know,
I've looked it up,
and there's a lot of people that have different. There's actually a Nierstein, Germany, and Stein, S-T-E-I-N, is a Germanic word for stone. And, of course, back in the olden days when people build their houses out of stones, you know, field stones and stuff like that, you know, stone structures were kind of a normal building method. A lot of people's name, like you've heard last names like Goldstein. That means,
yeah.
Translated, it means the stone made out of gold, like a gold nugget. So kind of weird how people had family names developed back in – say, you know, 500 to 1,000 years ago. Anyway, but that's like, you know, the history of how names get developed and stuff. That's called etymology. That's an interesting little linguistic science I like to study, you know, how words get coined and who coins what. The English language is very prolific with a lot of different historical words that got coined in different centuries. Some words in English are borrowed from other languages like French or Deutsch or Icelandic or Gaelic, which is an Irish language, you know, the kind of extinct language, sort of, or Welsh, which is, I think, a Scottish language. And, you know, there's all sorts of languages in the world, of course. And because of the sailing ship days, the age of exploration, you know, a lot of the colonial powers or the European powers were colonizing other countries because the sailing ships, you know, were the vehicle they used to spread their empire. Okay, so you study the spread of nations and empires and all that stuff. You realize the sailing ship days lasted 300 to 400 years, right? Like, obviously, the days
yeah.
of Christopher Columbus, the Mayflower ship, you know, all those pilgrims coming across from Europe to America, and they wanted to start a better country. You know, they had ideals that they were chasing. So when you're a student of history, you realize, wow, this stuff kind of goes in cycles. And there's you know, rise and falls of empires. You know, if you read any really good historian, write a good history book, they're always going to be talking about the rise and falls of empires. Well, to me, the business world is based on empires. If you think about it, they're linked. There's a general, yeah, link that's kind of implied between businesses and empires. Because look at the automotive industry. When Henry Ford started it, he didn't realize how much of an empire he would start building up. You know, but now look at all the cars made. All the different countries that make cars, it's like prolific.
Yeah.
You got a big, huge choice now of cars to pick from. We go shopping for cars. You know, it's the commercial world is really big, so it's kind of hard to manage it sometimes, you know?
That's right.
But, and that's the way the electrical world is right now, because you look at Nikola Tesla, you look at Mr. Westinghouse and Mr. Edison, they were all like kind of enemies because they were all competing against each other. I think Tesla worked for Edison for a little while before he went off on his own. If you study his life story, read his biographies and stuff, autobiographies. But sad about Tesla, he was a genius, but he died penniless. And all his data, all his scientific research and discoveries were stolen by the government. He had like about 20, if you go look up like Google Tesla, and there's like a lot of stories about his life. It's kind of crazy. He was one of those ones that didn't need much sleep too. He would like wake up after 4 hours and just be starting to work. He would be a workaholic and just work like 20 hours a day. And he'd come up with all these brand new ideas. Anyway, but
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to rattle on. But, yeah.
Hey, no worries. I really don't want to take too much of time. I'm sorry to cut you off. But yeah, everything that you have right now, because I did make a little research around your area right now, and again on what you do, everything. I mean, you're gonna love the programming that we have on your area, since you can still handle more work. So what I can do here right now, I mean, let's talk business. We can give you the details on how the programming works and how we can get you more jobs and how we can get you up there. So I actually have one of my favorite senior, Matt. He's one of my pricing director in the area. He's just going to give you a rundown about the pricing and how we can get you up there. And let me just grab him. You're going to love the programming. Hold on.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
All right, good. Good to hear your voice. What's your name?